from the latest on Caribbean cruises to kosher safaris, pilgrimages to Jewish Eastern Europe, and award-winning wines and international cuisine in sun-drenched Tel Aviv. Sit back and enjoy the trip with the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast.
Hi, and welcome to another episode. I'm Mark Gordon, and this is my travel buddy, David Harris.
Hey there, Mark. Now, at least one of us has actually started travelling. Admittedly, you've done it domestically here in Israel, but how was your experience?
It was lovely. I went to the seaside, booked a hotel for the weekend with a sea view, and just chilled out, went to the pool, went to the beach, went out to restaurants. Life is back to normal almost.
But how did it work vis-a-vis COVID?
At the hotel door, we were asked for our green passport. It was scanned, and once you were in the hotel, that was it. Once you had a key card, they knew you had your green passport. The dining room was socially distanced. The seating in the lobby was socially distanced. It just felt almost normal. There were a few things. People were wearing masks in and around the building, but overall, it just felt great after a year to be out holidaying.
It's good to hear that at least in some places we're getting things back on the road. In terms of this episode, we have two guests coming up. First of all, we're going to be telling you about a history-making trip on board Odyssey of the Seas, which is the latest Quantum-class ship out of the Royal Caribbean Fleet.
Following that, we head to New York, New York, and we see what Crown Heights has to offer in the way of cuisine.
Before we get there, as you probably know now, if hopefully you're a regular listener, we ask a couple of quiz questions about our destinations to get the show on the road.
Question number one. Royal Caribbean's ship Odyssey of the Seas has a specialty restaurant called Teppanyaki. Which country's cuisine does it serve?
And who lived at 770 Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn.
Israeli tourists are in for a treat this summer as Royal Caribbean International begins sailing from Israel for the first time. The company's latest Quantum-class ship, Odyssey of the Seas, will call Haifa home as it sets sail around the Mediterranean. We spoke with Royal Caribbean Vice President Ben Boldin about the warm cooperation with the Israeli government, the company's healthy sail policies, and what passengers can expect on board. First, Ben told us a little about his own relationship with the company.
Been with the organisation a little over 7 years now, and very much enjoying the responsibility of looking after this region, having formerly been looking after the UK and Ireland for many of my time at the company. Obviously, it corresponds with this difficult period we're in at the moment, coming through this pandemic. But really excited with the opportunity this Israel program is going to give the company and the organization. So really exciting times.
I've seen photographs of the boat. I've seen videos. I've listened to interviews about it. This is like a city on the sea. It could be anywhere in the world. It could be in Miami. It could be, you know, sort of the Pacific areas. Why on earth would you take this incredible boat and launch it off in Israel, of all places?
The first thing I have to pull you up on, and I hope you don't mind, is it's a ship. You can put a boat on a ship. You can't put a ship on a boat. So that's the way to remember it. An Odyssey of the Seas, you're right, is going to be the newest and most incredible cruise ship to grace the earth this year. I mean, it's a fantastic, fantastic ship. We had hoped originally to launch Odyssey of the Seas last November. And obviously with the pandemic affecting the shipyard schedules and various other things, we had to delay it a little bit. And we've been looking for the right opportunity. She was originally due to be in Italy for the summer, sailing around the Mediterranean. But when we saw the progress that Israel was making in its own vaccination program and the strides it was making to try and get to this sort of herd immunity, if you like, we just started to think, well, maybe Israel would be a great place to put a ship. And it started out as a ship. It wasn't necessarily going to be the new one. And our international representative, Sunarama, have always been championing the chance to home port one of our great ships from Haifa. It's really about Israel, I think, is the most ready. is the most ready to offer a really successful cruise program. And that's what we've explored. And we've had some good discussions with your health ministry and various advisors around whether it's practical, whether it's realistic. We've also spoken to the Greek and Cypriot governments about their willingness to support such a program. And of course, with the travel corridors that Israel is opening up with Greece and Cyprus, it really made for a very compelling itinerary. So it's just kind of grown, small incremental steps. And then we kind of got to the stage where it's like, well, should we do this? And then when we thought, yes, let's do it, we thought, with what ship? And we thought, well, do you know what? We've got this brand new ship waiting to go. Let's take her to Haifa and let's have a really fantastic summer season out of Israel and a fully vaccinated cruise experience with all the guests that are on board having been vaccinated. So we think it's a great opportunity to really put cruise back on the map. And I'm excited that this program's happening in my region.
I looked at some of the comments when it was launched on Facebook, and there's clearly some nervousness out there. How can you reassure people that now is the time and they will be safe on board?
Well, I think the world has learned a lot about COVID-19 since the very outbreak of the pandemic. And I think it's almost a year today that we had to sort of start to stop, voluntarily suspend all of our sailings around the world on the back of what happened in the Far East. I think the world has learned a lot, and we've learned a lot. We have had a panel of experts, which we've called our Healthy Sail Panel. These are medical experts, epidemiologists, who we have worked with, actually in conjunction with Norwegian Cruise Line, to create protocols that make and allow us to come back to service. It's an exhaustive piece of work. It ultimately ended up with 74 recommendations. And we put many of those recommendations into practice in our program in Singapore at the end of last year. And that program continues to work extremely successfully. So this is not our first foray back to cruise. We've been working and sailing in Singapore for many months. And we've also had joint ventures with TUI Cruise from Germany. And of course, we've seen other cruise lines start to operate. So we believe we've got this really well organized, and we're very comfortable that we've got the right protocols in place. And on top of that, Israel is in a fantastic position from a vaccination perspective, which means that we're able to offer this to vaccinated guests, which will again, hopefully enable us to operate extremely safely.
Back to the ship. I'm in love with, am I right in calling it the top deck?
The upper deck?
Upper deck.
Okay, I'm absolutely in love with what's on there. It's a paradise, I think, mainly for kids, but also for adults. Tell us a little bit about that and what lies beneath it on the ship.
It's been rumoured to be our most exciting, expansive upper deck across the fleet. So, and I'll explain why. It's got some fantastic favourites from the Quantum class of ship, and also pulls in some of our favourites from across the fleet. So at the back of the ship, you've got Skypad, which is an interactive bungee trampoline experience. You've also got Flowrider, which is our surf simulator. And then we've also got iFly, which is, I forget what you call it, but it's...
Skydiving.
Skydiving at sea, if you like. That's fantastic, sort of just array of entertainment. But what we've also got is a reimagined pool area. So we've got a much bigger pool deck on this ship than we have on other Quantum class ships. And it's surrounded by restaurants and bars and relaxation areas. So that looks truly fantastic. And of course, if the weather for whatever reason isn't quite so good, we've got this incredible Seaplex. And Seaplex is the largest indoor entertainment venue at sea. I mean, it's really fantastic. You can do circus skills. We've got dodgem cars, or bumper cars as they're called in some markets. We've got interactive roller discos. There's five-a-side football. There's all sorts of things. We have it all going on in there. Basketball, you name it, we can do it in there. And we've also got I call it sort of a dad and son sports bar, dining type option inside the Seaplex now. So you can watch your son and you watch your children play down in the Seaplex, and then you can have a bite to eat and a beer if it suits you, or a drink or whatever it suits you, and just watch it all happen beneath you. So it's a really fantastic interactive area, and it's quite unlike anything anybody else ever has.
When did the cruises start, and where is the Odyssey of the Seas going to visit on its cruise schedule?
So we are going to do a sailing for the travel trade, predominantly on the 30th of May, which will be practice sailing, if you like, a bit of a test run, chance to give all the travel trade in Israel a chance to see the ship. We've obviously got a long season to sell, lots of people to kind of encourage to come on the program. So we're going to take them on and give them a really good look at the ship and understand what that is that they're selling as a proposition. Because I honestly believe this is quite different to anything we've ever had sailing from Haifa in the past. So that's really important. That's on the 30th. And then we're going to start sailing proper on the 2nd of June. And we're going to start with a couple of short sailings. And then we're going to move into ultimately a 7-night Greek Isles and Cyprus cruise, which will see us go to Limassol in Cyprus. And then a number of Greek destinations from Athens, Rhodes, Mykonos, and so Santorini and so forth. Really nice itinerary. And of course, with Greece and Cyprus being such popular holiday destinations for the Israelis, we think it works really well. You only have to pack that bag once. You take it on board, and then we take you to 5 great destinations all in 1 week. What's not to love about that?
On top of the destinations, of course, everybody wants to know what's included in the package. Once they've paid you their dollars, what do they get?
You get food. You get entertainment, you get activities, you get everything you need to enjoy a fantastic holiday. That doesn't mean there isn't the opportunity for us to encourage you to spend a little bit more of your money. So we do have a very nice selection of specialty restaurants on board, really high-end cuisine across multiple different food types. We have various beverage packages which people may choose to dine up to or trade up to, and we have the opportunities to obviously explore shopping and all of the other kind of stuff that you would expect on board. So I mean, it really is kind of like a city at sea to some degree. So there are opportunities, but you really can, once you've paid your ticket price and you've kind of committed, you can enjoy a fantastic vacation with spending a little more.
What will be available for religious travelers? Will there be kosher food available on board, halal food? Is it a cruise suitable for religious travelers from Israel?
In a word, yes. We've actually put quite a lot of thought into it, and we wanted to make sure that this is really open to everyone. Royal Caribbean prides itself on being available to everybody. And it's important to us that we were set up to cover the whole of the Israeli demographic, if you like, including the more religious. So, I mean, I've actually got a cheat sheet with me, so please excuse me. But we've got everything covered from food and beverage. Obviously, we know kosher food is a requirement. And our large windjammer restaurant at the back of the ship will very much be set up specifically for kosher food. We will also have part of the main dining restaurant, which is kosher. We will even have a kosher speciality restaurant, so that if people want that a little bit more selective type experience, they can trade up and have a kosher speciality meal. We've also got kosher snacks available in various venues around the ship. So we are fully kosher ready. We're actually in the process of selecting a rabbi who will be involved, obviously, in blessing the kitchens and so forth. And that process is very much underway. So we're trying to make sure we're ready for that. I think the other thing is language support. We are aware, obviously, that we've got a big chunk of Hebrew speakers. And yes, there's a good chunk of people who speak English, too. So all announcements will be in multi-languages, including Hebrew. The cruise planner, each day we have this cruise planner, which is like almost your timetable of the day. Here's all the things you can do today. All of that will be fully translated into Hebrew. And we will also have some Hebrew speaking staff on board the ship, at guest services and so forth, to make sure that we've got the right capability to look after all of our guests. From an entertainment point of view, we've got local DJs from Israel that we are including and mixing into our platform and program. We've got Greek brands, which I believe are very popular with the Israeli audience, so I'm told, so we're going with it. Some fantastic Greek bands. And we've got an incredible kids program. And the kids program will also cater for Hebrew-speaking children as well as English-speaking children. So we've got all of that covered. And then in terms of the more religious side of things, obviously we know candles are important, and they're a bit of a no-no on ships. So we've got electric candles for staterooms that we think will hopefully will be appropriate. We've got conference rooms that we are going to open up and turn into prayer rooms for individuals who'd like to pray during their cruise. And we will also have a Shabbat elevator, which I think is also important. So by all means, guys, tell me what we're not covered or tell me what we need to cover, because we're new to this to some degree. We're trying to make sure we cover all the bases, but that's kind of what we've done so far.
And to end, anybody who's listened to this, who is captivated, who is desperate to join you, what's the best way for them to do so?
They can book either in English or Hebrew. They can take their pick. If they'd like to book in Hebrew, they can book online with our Sunarama IR website. If they want to book in English, they can book via the RoyalCaribbean.com website. Or we have the ability to book our holidays via a number of travel trade partners across the marketplace who we work with everybody. So we're very keen to welcome everybody. This will be a really extraordinary holiday. And after a year of upheaval for so many people, I think it's going to be a great way to kind of break free of the of this COVID-19 pandemic and have a fantastic vacation. So I look forward to welcoming everybody on board.
Ben Boulding, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Royal Caribbean Fact File. Royal Caribbean International has been at sea for more than 50 years, traveling to over 270 destinations in 72 countries on 6 continents, including Royal Caribbean's own private island destination called Perfect Day at Coco Cay in the Bahamas. Odyssey of the Seas will make its maiden voyage in May 2021. The 2-7 night itineraries round trip from Haifa, Israel will include visits to idyllic isles and destinations in the Mediterranean, such as Rhodes, Santorini, Mykonos and Athens in Greece, and Limassol in Cyprus. Odyssey of the Seas is the length of almost 4 American football fields. It has a cruising speed of 22 knots. There are 16 decks and 17 elevators on board. Odyssey has 7 complimentary dining rooms and 8 specialty restaurants and cafes, as well as 6 bars and lounges. Odyssey has 2,105 staterooms and can accommodate some 5,500 guests, looked after by more than 1,500 crew.
And now it's time for the latest travel news from the Jerusalem Post podcast Travel Edition. Launching October 31st, American Airlines will operate a 3 times weekly service from Dallas-Fort Worth to Tel Aviv. American is the first carrier to offer a direct service between Texas and Tel Aviv.
As Ramadan begins, Israel's government and tourism industry are laying the groundwork for an influx of Muslim visitors, the Jerusalem Post reports. This follows last year's agreement signed with 4 Arab countries.
Air Seychelles resumed direct flights to Israel March 23rd after a COVID-related hiatus.
26 US trade organizations representing the aviation and travel industries called on Washington to develop a roadmap to relax international restrictions and allow foreign tourists to enter the country.
El Al made a net loss of $531 million in 2020. Revenue was down some 70%. The airline was losing money also pre-COVID.
Thailand lost some 1.5 million tourism jobs during the coronavirus pandemic, says Reuters. The country's preparing to reopen for visitors in a bid to rescue the struggling sector.
This is the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast with Mark Gordon and myself, David Harris. Mark, when you think of Crown Heights in New York, what type of food would you have in mind? What would it conjure up for you?
Kugel.
Gefilte fish.
Anything Hamisher.
Cholent. Hamisher.
Anything the Lubavitcher Rebbe would have at his dinner table.
Well, Fern Penn is the founder of the Crown Heights Rosebud Kosher Food Tour. And according to her, it's about much more than Hamisher food. In a minute, we'll find out about the tour. But first, a little about Fern.
I was born and raised in New York City, still live in New York City. We live in Greenwich Village. I graduated from Fashion Institute of Technology and have always been in the fashion business. back in 2000, when the Intifada was happening in Israel and we would travel to Israel quite often, I said, I want to do something to support the situation that was going on. So I imported hats that were made and designed by girls in Israel. They shipped us the hats and we're selling the hats here in New York. In 2003, I decided, well, the fashion in Tel Aviv is amazing and there's so much beautiful product that I decided to open up a store in New York called Rosebud, selling only Israeli-made fashion, home products and art and music, and decided, all right, now I want to bring the people who were shopping in my store, let's do a fashion tour to Israel, and started Rosebud Fashion Tour. We had a few tours where I would bring the women to see the different designers. They were able to shop. It was fantastic. But then things just became a little more difficult getting people to travel abroad with the finance situation that was going on here. So I've been going to Crown Heights for many years now, shopping the amazing food scene that's going on there, the kosher food world. And everybody who would come to my house for Shabbat would always say, where did you get that? Where did you get this? It's delicious. So I decided to start a new venture called Rosebud Food Tour. We started in June of 2019, and I was doing food tours to Crown Heights every week, twice a week, until the pandemic.
So why specifically Crown Heights as opposed to any other neighborhood or borough of New York?
The kosher food scene there is amazing. It's very contemporary. It's a lot of farm to table, quite unusual, and it's all within a few blocks of each other. So I decided, well, let me walk it and see how far it is. It's basically 10,000 steps, which translates to it's a few miles. So my attitude was, well, people will be eating 10,000 calories, 10,000 steps. They'll be able to work it off.
Does the area specialize in Ashkenazi food, you know, cholent and potato kugels and chicken soup, or is there more of an ethnic mix?
It's a mix right at this point now. The places that we go to, there is some traditional Ashkenazi, but then there's some very contemporary things that are more Sephardic, more Middle Eastern, more European, and it's just a mixture of different tastes at this point now.
What food do people actually get to eat on one of these tours?
We begin the tour at a place called Bakery, and it's a very sophisticated, beautifully done bakery where we get homemade cookies and coffee, and that's where we do the beginning of the tour. People meet us there, and I give them a little introduction to what they're about to see. From there, we go to Benzie's, which is a fish store primarily. He started in the business back in the 1970s. Making gefilte fish. He's now grown into a gourmet, beautiful gem of a store. So we get samples of herring, pickles, and olives. From there, we go to Basil, which was the first contemporary restaurant that opened in Crown Heights. And we get their well-known Basil pizza. From there, we walk along Kingston Avenue, which is the main shopping center of Crown Heights. And we stop at Gumbo's, which is a Hamisha bakery, and we get samples of rugelach. Or depending on the season, if we were doing it now, he must have about 20 different sufganiyot donuts, so we get different tastings of the donuts. From there, we continue on, and we go to Brooklyn Bakehouse, which is another artisan bakery, and they're known for their scones and their cinnamon buns, so we get samples of the scones. From there, we go to the Boozerie, which is
pretty. I like the sound of that one.
He does liquor-infused parv ice cream and sorbet. And he's a new business that's a couple of years old. And from there, we go to Izzy's, which is well-known for his barbecued brisket, and we get a brisket sandwich. And from there, we go to Allenby. Allenby is contemporary Israeli cuisine, and we have a dessert and a glass of wine, and that's where the tour ends.
Sounds absolutely amazing. What type of people come on the tour?
All ages, because food really is for all people. So I've gotten, you know, little kids with their families, ages, let's say 5 and up. I've gotten older people, like senior groups from synagogues have come. I would say it's primarily Jewish people that come. I mean, I've gotten a few people that are not Jewish, but it's primarily Jewish. And it's Jews of all stripes, because everybody loves food.
I know this might seem like a silly question, given we're talking about Crown Heights, but is everything on the tour kosher?
Yes, everything is kosher. There is nothing that's not kosher. It's all certified by either the OU or the OK. We start with the dairy and we end with the meat. So there's no problem with waiting 6 hours or any of that.
Is there a need to wear a special dress code because you're going through the ultra-Orthodox neighborhood of Crown Heights, or come as you are?
Come as you are. The nice thing about Crown Heights is that they're very open-minded. They're not judgmental. They welcome everybody. So it's a non-issue. You can come dressed as you wish.
I'm assuming you're still doing the fashion work?
So what happened was, in Crown Heights, there, believe it or not, there are some fabulous fashion stores that people don't even realize are there. So I started to do Rosebud Fashion Tour in Crown Heights, and we visit about 7 and 8 different stores that sell very contemporary, funky, not expensive clothing, shoes, handbags. And it's been, you know, we've done very, very well with that as well, because people just don't realize. They think of a religious neighborhood as being stuffy and dowdy, and it's not. They're very, very hip and contemporary.
So which do you prefer, the food or the clothes?
I like both. Certainly my food tours have been more popular because it's a larger group of the population. You know, men could attend it, little children could attend it, whereas the fashion tour, it's primarily for the ladies. So, you know, it still keeps my finger in the fashion pot, but I'm able to enjoy both.
But do the fashion tour after the food tour, because if you eat all that food, you're probably going to go up a dress size.
Exactly.
How do our listeners get in contact with you if they want to come on one of your tours next year?
They could reach me on my email, which is rosebudfashiontour@gmail.com. My website is also Rosebud Fashion Tour, so all the information is on that as well.
Fern Penn, it's been fascinating, if brief. Thank you very much indeed. Of course, if people want to know more, they know where to find you. And if they want the full experience, then they need to travel to Crown Heights to meet you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Crown Heights Fact File. New York is accessible from everywhere, although currently there are no direct flights from Kabul. JFK Airport and LaGuardia are 15 to 25 minutes from Crown Heights. Taxis will cost between $50 and $75 from JFK and as much as $90 from LaGuardia. Subway and air train from JFK costs between $8 and $11. LaGuardia is best accessed via bus and subway. The Parkhouse Hotel in Borough Park is kosher and 5 miles away. Avenue Plaza Hotel is also kosher and located in Borough Park.
Coming up, the answers to our quiz questions from the beginning of the show. But first, I'd like to say a big thanks to Ben Boldin and Fern Penn.
If you like what you're hearing on the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast, then please, please give us 5 stars and write a great recommendation and tell your friends that they should also be downloading this podcast. Now, those answers to the quiz questions. Mark, take it away.
Question number one was, Royal Caribbean ship Odyssey of the Seas has a specialty restaurant called Teppanyaki. Which country's cuisine does it serve? Teppanyaki is also known as hibachi and comes from Japan.
And question number two, who lived at 770 Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn? And the answer was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and today serves as the headquarters for the Chabad Hasidic movement. That's it for this particular edition of the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast.
Happy travels, and we'll see you soon.